Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, as always, Jake. You can follow me on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, at Louis Lewis 5. That's L-E-W-I-S, and the number 5. It's also right there on the screen for you. I'm looking good. Just got cleaned up. Ready and, you know, just in time for Thanksgiving. Hopefully you guys are all having a good week, whatever that may be. Hopefully it's a short week for you guys. And you guys get to spend time with your family and in-laws, friends, whatever. But thanks for tuning in to today's show. I will be talking about injuries. Not so many piled up this week, but they still occurred. And I will be talking about my thoughts through week 12's games. And finally, capping it off with my waiver targets at each position. We got some things to get covered. So without further ado, let's get fantasy. So I already mentioned it earlier. There was not so many injuries that occurred this week, which is great for us because it seems like each and every week we have a serious injury, whether that be early on with Bucky Irving for a long time, season ending injuries, or somebody just decides to spit on somebody in suspension. Thanks a lot, Jamar Chase, this week. But nonetheless, let's talk about the Bengals, right from the get-go. Joe Flacco did play instead of Joe Burrow, but Joe Burrow's expected to start on Thursday for Thanksgiving. Thank you, because I need him to play as well. T. Higgins, though, did leave the game with a concussion. I thought he was going to have a huge game. Unfortunately, he didn't really get much at all. And then he exits, I think, in the third quarter. I think I seen in the game that he ended up getting concussion. Running back Tajay Brooks also gets a concussion for the Bengals. The next one, like I said, there's not many on here. New Orleans Saints, Alvin Kamara. It's been a dud season pretty much for him. And if he's been in your lineups, it's kind of really cost you, honestly, because he's not giving you big boom games. Doesn't sound like he's going to really produce anything, even though he has a juicy matchup the rest of the year. Currently, he is dealing with a PCL sprain with his right or one of his knees and did not even play in the second half. So if you do have Devin Neal on the waivers, we'll talk about him later, but also pick him up. And finally, Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Baker Mayfield injured his left non-throwing shoulder against the Los Angeles Rams. He injured it and then re-aggravated it towards the end of the first half, and he did not play in the second half. Overall, the Rams look like a legit Super Bowl contending team. And yeah, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just did not get anything going, did not have any rhythm. They were not in sync. It is just a all around bad offensive performance overall. Now let's take a dive and look at some of these games. Let's look at the biggest matchup probably that was very exciting. The Giants versus the Lions. I don't know how the hell the Lions won this game, but it was in overtime. Jameis Winston gets a start because Jackson Dart was ruled out with the concussion. 366 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, but he did have a 33-yard touchdown catch. If you watch that play, and he caught it. He shook somebody, stiff arm, would not go down, and was eating W's in the end zone. Just unfortunately wasn't the winning column for this Giants team. Tyrone Tracy, 62 yards on the ground, and Wandell Robinson, huge game. I mean, in the first quarter, he had 4 catches, 106 yards, 1 touchdown. He finishes the game, 9 catches, 156, and a score. He is somebody that you wanted to play this week, and if you did, he repaid you. I mean, hell, we know that Jameis Winston wants to throw the ball, and we know he can throw the ball. It was just nice to see that going to Wandell Robinson, a capable player and big, big fast receiver. And Theo Johnson, 3 catches, 77 yards, huge athletic tight end. But if we look at the other side, Jared Goff, 279, 2 scores, and a interception. But the man that we want to really talk about, Jahmyr Gibbs. It was Thanksgiving's early. 219 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, huge game. And then overtime, he had a game-winning touchdown. And then he didn't stop there. He had 11 catches, 12 targets for 45 yards and a score as well. Huge day. Just if you had him and if you played him in fast draft and had him as your 2 booster, you probably cashed out for something. Make sure you download Fast Draft and use promo code Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, for dollar-for-dollar match up to $50. Continuing on with Lions, it was a dud game for Jameson Williams, but that meant Amon-Ra St. Brown, 9 catches, 149 yards, and a score for him. He finally comes back after a couple quiet weeks. But yeah, if you had these two guys in your fast draft lineups, I'm sure I'd look it up and I'd say probably like 90% of you guys cashed out in your fast draft. Quick six, super slam. Moving on to another game I want to talk about is the Indianapolis Colts versus Kansas City Chiefs, another overtime game. Because NFL could not have the Chiefs lose. Come on now. Daniel Jones started off hot, only had 181, but 2 scores. Jonathan Taylor was pretty much bobbled up all game. He only averaged 3.6 yards per carry on 16 carries, had 58 yards on the ground, and only 2 catches for 8 yards as well through there. Tyler Warren, again, Kansas City plays these tight ends really, really good. I was expecting like maybe a 3 or 4 catch game for 30, 40 yards, which that's what usually Chiefs allow. He ended up 5 catches, 45 yards, still less than 10 fantasy points this week. The only game that the Chiefs defense allowed big boom week against the tight end position was Dalton Kincaid. And we've seen he has not been back really since. Michael Pittman Jr., 5 catches, 27 yards, and a score. At least got that touchdown. Otherwise, you'd be feeling some other sort. Now, Patrick Mahomes, 352, no passing touchdowns and an interception. It was a bad game for, I would say, that. I mean, I'd consider that a bad game. You have no passing touchdowns. You had 30 yards on the ground, but you got sacked 4 times, interception. It was just a great defensive performances all around. Kareem Hunt did have 104 yards on the ground with 1 touchdown. 30 rush attempts. 30, yes. I don't even think he's touched or carried the ball more than 14 times yet this year, and he goes 30? What the hell? 30. And, of course, Rashid Rice, 8 catches, 141. No scores since Mahomes didn't throw for any. And Travis Kelce, 4 catches, 43 yards. Again, another overtime game. You cannot think the NFL would let KC slide and possibly miss the playoffs this year. Another overtime game I'm going to talk about. The Jacksonville Jaguars versus the Arizona Cardinals. I was watching this game, but watching Trevor Lawrence throw the ball in general, it's not pretty. It really is not pretty. 18 for 30, 256, three touchdowns. Yes, congratulations. Three touchdowns, but you had three terrible decision interceptions as well. If you watch that game, you could see Liam Cohen, the head coach for Jags, just shaking his head like, what the hell, man? What are you doing? Like, I think one was in the end zone, just terrible decision. Travis Etienne, though, pretty much helped him out and bailed him out. 86 yards on the ground, and he had three catches, 30 yards, and a receiving touchdown as well. Huge day for him. But a couple guys in the receiving department, Breton Strange, five catches, 93 yards, coming off his injury, his off the IR with his hip. Huge day for him. I think big weeks are coming for him because all the targets are going to be consolidated to him, Parker Washington, and Jacoby Myers. That's really it. Because I don't know what's going on with Brian Thomas, but he hasn't played in the last few weeks, and he still looked terrible before then. But it's good news for Breton Strange, especially if you're looking for a streaming tight end or need a tight end in general because David Njoku sucks and is not getting the ball. Parker Washington, again, yeah, five catches, 71 yards, and a touchdown as well. On the other side, Arizona Cardinals, Jacoby Brissett, man. If you could get this guy, get him. Please get him. I know his name's not, you know, fancy and everything else, but he's balling out right now, and they cannot run the ball. Leading rusher, 28 yards, 20 yards, 12 yards, negative five. They are not running the ball for crap. But Jacoby Brissett, 49 pass attempts once again, almost 50. 317, one touchdown passing. Huge day through there. Who caught most of those? Michael Wilson. He's just showing out that he's a number one wide receiver on this team with Marvin Harrison gone. 10 catches, 118. Hell of a day. Hell of a day. And the second man in command, or actually he's really the number one, Trey McBride, 9 catches, 79 yards. Huge day for him, as always. Unfortunately, just could not get in the end zone. And maybe, oh no, this one did not go in the overtime. Eagles versus Cowboys. Cowboys stunned the Eagles. Even though the Eagles, man, you were up pretty much all game, and then you just flatline. Flatline. Hurts, 289, one passing touchdown, two rushing touchdowns because the tush push. 33 yards on the ground. That saved his fantasy day. Saquon Barkley, only 22 yards rushing, was a bad performance for him. He did contribute seven catches, 52 yards. But, man, he only ran the ball 10 times with Barkley. It's not going to get it done. And he had a fumble. It is just a bad performance for him. But Squeaky Wheel gets a touchdown. A.J. Brown, if you didn't know, eight catches, 110 yards, and a score. But Adams we'll talk about in a second. Six catches, 89 yards as well. Huge days for those guys. On the other side, Cowboys, the winning team. Dak Prescott, 354, two scores, and an interception. He also ran one in. He did like a full front flip into that end zone. So that helped him as well, having three total touchdowns. Javonte Williams, 87 yards on the ground. But, man, I think George Pickens, the number two wide receiver, I think, right now in the league, nine catches, 146, and a score. It's so nice for him to have CeeDee Lamb to take most of that pressure off and coverage off of him so he could do these types of things. And we know that Dak Prescott loves to throw the crap out of the ball. CeeDee Lamb, four catches, 75 yards. And Jake Ferguson finally comes back to life, five catches, 60 yards. And the last game we'll talk about is Sunday Night Football. I'm not going to lie. I kind of fell asleep after halftime, but Buccaneers 7, Rams 34. Buccaneers, they're often sputtered. It really took a step back this week. Baker Mayfield, 9 for 19, 41 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. But he did hurt his left his non-throwing shoulder, his left arm. I already said it, but it's ruled a low-grade sprain. Takes a couple weeks to heal, apparently, but, I mean, I'm sure being his non-throwing shoulder, it's going to be okay. I mean, just put a couple injections in there, and he should be good to go. But, yeah, he played only in the first half, did not come out the second. If he cannot give it a go, Teddy Bridgewater will be playing. Yes, he's not coaching high school football right now. And that takes a toll for everyone. Oof. But Sean Tucker, out coming off of running back one numbers, he came to back to life right here. 12 rushes, 42 yards, had one catch, 4 yards as well. Not the greatest performance for him. I mean, hell, everyone on this Buccaneers team struggled. Even rookie standout Emeka Ebuka, 3 catches, 32 yards. Yikes. That's a bad week for Buccaneers. But the Rams, Matthew Stafford, if 273, 3 touchdowns. This guy has like 30 touchdowns right now on the year to like 2 interceptions. I think the last interception was like 25 touchdowns ago. This guy is on fire, and this Rams team is a serious, serious Super Bowl contending team right now. Kyren Williams, 12 rushes, 46 yards. Not too shabby, I guess. Didn't really have to do much when the game wasn't that close. Puka Nacua, 7 catches, 97 yards, and Davante Adams. Man, this guy, all he does is score. 5 catches, 62 yards, and not one, but 2 touchdowns. Yes, 2 of the 3 that Stafford threw. Just maybe give one to Puka every now and then. That'd be great for us. You know, I mean, I need it. I'd love to have something of that coming back each and every week. Unfortunately, it's not happening for me or for Puka fantasy owners, but he does get almost 100 yards each and every week. We just are a little greedy, I'm just going to be honest. But that's some of the games I want to talk about. Let's hear a word from the Podfather real quick, and then we'll talk about some player takes I have. Let's hear about...
I know you're sad draft season is over, but just because the NFL season starts doesn't mean the drafting stops, because Fast Draft has the Flex 6 Frenzy. You're drafting 6 guys for the Sunday slate. It's fast, it's furious, it's fun. And as with everything on Fast Draft, there are no salaries. Woo! So go to draftfaster.com, get the app, use your host promo code for a $50 deposit match. Now let's go start drafting faster.
Yes, go ahead and download Fast Draft. Use promo code Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, once again. Dollar for dollar match up to $50. Here are 5 players. I just want to react to them. I mean, man, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, JSN. Will he finish as wide receiver 1? That currently is going to be, I think so. I mean, let's be honest, I think so. So far this season, 80 freaking catches already. It is week only 12. Week 12, 80 catches. Over 1,300 yards receiving, 7 touchdowns. He is on pace to catch 130 balls, over 2,100 yards receiving, and 11 touchdowns. No one in history has over 2,000 yards receiving. The highest is Calvin Johnson. Had 1964. And all JSN needs to do that is get, what is it, 600 and, I know he's less than that, but to 2,000, he's 687 yards away from 2,000 with seven games left. He needs to average 98 yards per game to get 2,000 yards. Will he? I think so. I mean, who's stopping him? He's just looking dominant, and I don't see him not getting 2,000 yards by any means, how well he's been playing. I mean, how he just goes for, what do you have this week? Over 100 yards receiving, 150 with two touchdowns. This guy is unbelievable, unstoppable, and he's currently wide receiver one. The next closest, George Pickens, wide receiver two. Depending on your point, it's about like 60 points, if not more, difference between wide receiver one and wide receiver two. Crazy to think that. Next guy is Jameis Winston. He's, I don't know how in the world this team lost. I mean, he is eating W's, you know, like, and then that fourth quarter collapse might be the reason why they fired their defense coordinator today. I am recording on Monday night. 49ers are probably going to win this game against the Panthers. 2 minute warning left, 20-9. Come on, Juwan Jennings, just get one catch for 3 yards and I win a league. Anyways, yeah, back to Jameis Winston. He's just a slinger. We all know it. We've seen it before. 30 touchdown, 30 interception, quarterback five on the year for fantasy. He finishes this game against one of the top defenses in the football league, and he finished with 366 yards, two touchdowns throwing, and he also caught that one 33-yard touchdown after stiff arming some weak defenders. He looks great. Should have won, but they ended up losing. I'm just wondering next year, is he going to be with the Giants, or what team should give him an opportunity if he should get another opportunity to be a starting quarterback in the NFL? Maybe like the Raiders. Because Geno Smith, yikes, is not the answer. Let's be honest. Geno Smith is not the answer. He's getting no. But I don't think Pete Carroll would have the patience to deal with Jameis Winston throwing the ball and turning the ball over multiple times. But he can stay in the pocket with a weak offense line. But I just want to see what you guys think. Where does he go next year? Put it in the comments. Let me know. I want to know from you guys. Next guy I want to talk about, it looks like it's just JSN and four quarterbacks I want to talk about. Jeez. Is Kirk Cousins. He led the Falcons to their first victory in 6 weeks. Yes, I know it's against the Saints, but they're missing their top wide receiver, Drake London, in this game. But Kirk Cousins finished with 199 yards passing, two touchdowns, one to Darnell Mooney for a 49-yard touchdown. And if you listen to my Start Sits episode every Friday, this week we have it Thursday because, you know, you might want to listen to something when you're traveling up to your in-laws or your family, Thanksgiving dinner or brunch, whatever you have. But yeah, check it out every Friday, except for this week is going to be Thursday morning. My co-host Bill and I come out with a Start Sit episode for each and every week. But he was one of my starts this week. Darnell Mooney was. So if you had him, you probably did well. But can Kirk Cousins lead this team to the playoffs? Because we all know Michael Penix is not coming back this year. I just don't think so. He beat one of the worst teams in the league, but it was promising because it was their first one in six games. Next week, I see them probably beating the Jets, but that's not a promise. I mean, the Jets can play some stingy defense. And they could also do well running the ball against, or the Jets can actually do well against this Atlanta team, I feel. Except for, I might pick Atlanta anyways, because Atlanta's pass rush is really good. But I don't see them making the playoffs. I think Buccaneers will still win that division because the Saints aren't. Carolina is about to be 6-6. I don't see them winning. And Atlanta, their defense is good, but it's not looking promising. So I'm saying no. Next guy is J.J. McCarthy. Yikes! I've been saying over and over and over again, this guy is not impressive at all. Once again, another bad performance this week. 12 for 19, 87 yards, 2 interceptions. Also, he got sacked 5 times. Thank God, because I'm a big Packer fan. And, yeah, I really enjoyed watching that game and him sucking, because it also means it's not helping Justin Jefferson, which I have no shares of Justin Jefferson because I didn't believe in J.J. McCarthy from the beginning. So if you listen to the podcast, you already know I'm not a big J.J. McCarthy fan. But he's also currently in concussion protocol. Sorry, that was a late ad for injuries. Perhaps he could be missing next week. I don't know if he's just in protocol or if he's actually has a concussion. I don't know what's going on with him. But he's a sit. Again, he was another sit on my start sit episode. So hopefully you tune in for that and follow along. And benched him. But he's not worth starting playing anytime soon with the type of numbers he's putting up and not capable of helping us fantasy gamers. So don't be playing him anytime soon. I wouldn't even stash him on my roster at this point either. But a guy you might think, and I've been saying it for quite some time, Shedeur Sanders. Yes, the last guy I'm going to mention, Shedeur Sanders. He led the Browns to their first victory since week 7 against the Dolphins. He impressed a little bit. 11 for 20, 209, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. He led the Browns to 2 first quarter touchdowns, capped off by Judson Junkins, Wildcat formation touchdowns. He did have a deep bomb to Isaiah Bond, and Bond got down at the 1. That is very impressive throwing off your back leg, jumping in the air, throwing it, 40, 50 yards down the field. It was a very impressive throw, and it was spot on the money. He's so much more accurate than Dillon Gabriel, for God's sake. And he also made history for the Browns. He's the first Browns quarterback to win their first rookie start since 1995. Yes, you heard that right. I think they're 0-17 at that, or 0-15, something like that. But yeah, he's the first Browns rookie to win their first starting game since 1995. Also, it's big news because he is now named the starting quarterback. Even with Dillon Gabriel clearing concussion protocol, this is huge news for Shedeur Sanders himself and anyone that follows him as well. Let's get into the waiver, and then, that's going to be it until I come out with an episode. If you want to tune in for that on Fantasy End Zone, wherever you get your podcasts, I'll be out Thursday morning. Tune in for it for start sits as well. Also, I do want to just mention Fast Draft. We here have a Turkey Day Quick Slicks Super Slam and Frenzy, or Quick Six Frenzy. So tune in for that. There's only 6 teams, so good odds of getting certain players. Hopefully you get it into it. Again, download Fast Draft. Use promo code Lewis. It'll help you out. Now for my waiver ads. Number one, easy. easy Jacoby Brissett. How is it not? How is it not? I don't understand how he's available in 50% of leagues. Yes, he's not a sexy name. Jacoby Brissett. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Since he's been the starter, quarterback 7, 12, 10, 10, and 4. And currently he is number 8, which that game just ended and neither one of those quarterbacks did jack squiddly squat. So he's going to finish as quarterback 8. He is a plug-and-play player the rest of the season for you. And Kyler Murray's probably not going to come back anytime soon. So pick up Jacoby Brissett. My next one, Jordan Love. He's weirdly available in 32% of leagues. Faces the Lions. Decent defense. But we just seen Winston carve him up for 366. The Chicago Bears twice. Denver is a tough one, so I would probably not be starting him that week. And Baltimore Ravens, which is a hit or miss, but I would probably start him against that team because it's probably going to be mostly throwing that game. Those are some juicy matchups. I'm looking into dibble-a-dabbling. I know he's not going to be available in any of my leagues because hometown guy in Wisconsin. But for you fantasy gamers, hopefully he's available for you. 32% of sleeper leagues. Those are my two ads for quarterback. And I would say my number one ad for running back, Devin Neal, available in 90% of leagues. Alvin Kamara is dealing with a PCL strain. I don't know what type of recovery is for that, but I don't see him playing in the next 2 weeks probably. But Kamara, after he got injured, Neal had 74% of snaps. He also helped out in the receiving game, having 5 catches on 7 targets for 43 yards. So he's contributing on the ground and in the air, which is huge news for PPR league formats or anything like that. And also, Camaro's been dog crap this year. He's just been bad. He's just been that bad. So Devin Neal is one that you want to put your waiver claims in on. Now, my next couple running backs, Chris Rodriguez, 71% of the leagues. It looks like he's currently their starter, and JCM, Corey Kraske, Merritt, Bill, whatever you want to call him, is getting less and less playing time to Chris Rodriguez. I just want to know what it's going to be like after their bye week, because we always see bye week and then the rookies come hitting the ground running. But I think Chris Rodriguez is the guy to go after and get. My third running back, Trey Benson. I already mentioned earlier that this Cardinals defense or run game was crap. I mean, 12, I think, was their leading rushers. Trey Benson, 31% of leagues he's available. So I'd be looking at him to add to my roster. Other guys keeping an eye on, Tajay Spears and Bershaw Tootin. Both of those guys can be home run hitting guys possibly in late in the year. My wide receivers. This one is tough. But I'm going to have to stick my neck out there and say Troy Franklin has to be one of my top wide receivers this week. 39% of leagues he is available on sleeper. He has, in the last like five weeks, well, besides the bye week this past week, wide receiver 12, 15, 8, 24, and 12. Those are amazing freaking numbers for him. Those are some of the top guys that you should be adding. And in 39% of leagues, I'm adding him as well. Parker Washington, another ad for me, 44% of leagues. I know last week he didn't do so hot. I agree. But in his last 5 games he played, wide receiver 31, 17, 15, 66, was not good, I know, and 12. But with no Brian Thomas, I don't know what else to expect from this team. I really like Parker Washington. He keeps on getting targets. I think he had just another 9 targets this week. So I'm looking to add Parker Washington. Christian Watson is another guy, 48% of leagues he's available. I'm looking to add him as well. He just is a big home run deep threat guy for Jordan Love and the Packers offense. He's what I think a lot of us fantasy gamers and football fans in general thought Matthew Golden was going to be. Unfortunately, he's kind of fell flat on his face. And Christian Watson is coming back from his ACL injury, and he is everything you want, plus some, especially with Tucker Kraft being gone for the rest of the season. Another guy to be adding for wide receiver, Jaden Higgins, 76% available. In the last 3 games, 23 targets. I mean, he's putting up wide receiver 2 numbers, 22, 35, 22, 92. Yes, last week was bad. I agree. And 26 this week. Those are numbers where you could stream a guy and throw him in, possibly get a top 24 performance from. I'm doing that. I'm looking at that. I'm considering playing him. I did actually play him this last week, and he scored a touchdown for me. Thank you. Other guys is Chimiri Adike, rookie for Tennessee, Luther Burden, the third, another rookie for the Bears, and Darnell Mooney. He should be getting targets throughout the year still, especially deep targets, even with Drake London coming back, so I'm adding him as well. Tight end, my ads I'm looking at is Theo Johnson. This guy is putting up big numbers. He's very athletic. He's got 4 top 10 finishes on the year. I really like what he can contribute to your team. And overall, he's available in 56% of leagues. And once Jackson Dart gets back, he's always targeted as well. And especially with Winston, he's 3 catches, 77 yards, huge day, double digits. That's what I'm looking for in the tight end position. Breton Strange, available in 77% of leagues, just came off IR with the hip injury, 5 catches, 93 yards. Go out and add Breton Strange in your lineups. Harold Fanning Jr. is another ad for me. 45% of leagues. He just played 90% of snaps with Shedeur Sanders. That's a season high for him. David Njoku took a backseat role, had a dud performance. I know he was battling an injury, but 49% and didn't even have anything to contribute to this Browns win. So I think it's more Harold Fanning going forward. Last tight end is Dalton Schultz, 48% available. Again, he's putting up tight end 1 numbers on the year. That's only if you really need somebody, I'd go out and acquire Dalton Schultz. But other than that, no thank you. Those are the waiver targets I would be targeting right now. Again, thank you for tuning into the show. Follow me on X, Twitter, whatever you call it, at Louis Lewis 5, Lewy, Lewis, and the number 5. Also, I will mention again, I will be recording with my co-host, and we'll have an episode out on Thursday for Thanksgiving. So tune in for that for your week 13 start sits of the week for Fantasy End Zone. Also, download Fast Draft. It's a great app. You can play against me and other players or staff members from Player Profiler. Code Lewis, Lewis, will get you $50 match up to your first deposit. And from me and my family to you guys, enjoy your holiday. Have a safe holiday. Be smart. You know, I know Wednesdays is a big, huge going out day, but Be safe. Call a friend, Uber, whatever you need to do. But from my family to yours, happy holidays. Enjoy your holiday this week. Until the next time, I'll see you guys next week on Tuesday. As always, I'm here. Peace out.
From the Podfather to you, I deeply appreciate you tuning in. And many ask, what can I do? What can I do to help support the hosts, the research they do, the production costs? Go to playerprofiler.com, Dynasty Deluxe, World Famous Draft Kit, Rankings, DFS Dominator, and of course, Data Analysis. Subscribe to any one of those, and you support all of us and take Player Profiler to the moon.